Good evening, everyone. This is Steve Santacero, your state senator here in the 10th District in Bucks County. Thank you for joining me this evening and welcome to our live telephone town hall. Tonight, we're going to be discussing emergency preparedness, which is a timely topic given many of the extreme storm events that we've been having in our area recently. And with us tonight to talk about this issue will be Randy Padfield, who is the director of Pennsylvania's Emergency Management Agency, or PEMA, Bucks County Commissioner Bob Harvey, who is the chair of the Board of Commissioners, and George Wilson, who is the director of operations for Bucks County's Emergency Services Department. And so it's great to have you all with us tonight. What we're going to be doing, just by way of housekeeping up front, is having a bit of a discussion about the issue generally. Then we will be opening the lines up to questions that constituents may have. And the way you do that, if you want to be connected live this evening, is by hitting *3 on your phone. Once again, *3 on your phone, and I'll be periodically reminding you about that over the course of the next hour until we wrap up. The other thing I'd like to let you know at the outset is, you know, we get many folks on these calls, and since we only have an hour, we usually cannot accommodate every question from everyone who participates. So what we ask is, if you have not been able to have your question asked during the course of this hour, that you stay on the line when we conclude, and you will be able to leave a voicemail for us, and we will answer your question when you do that. And we make an effort to respond to all those questions that are left after the conclusion of the call. So again, welcome to our live telephone town hall. And as I said at the outset, you know, in this time in which we live, where global climate change is clearly having an impact on our environment and as a consequence causing more extreme weather events than we have seen throughout most of our lifetimes, the issue of preparing for emergencies becomes ever more important for us. You think about in just the last decade when we had first hurricanes Irene and Sandy, more recently Hurricane Ida, and of course just this past summer the terrible flash flood in Washington Crossing and Lower Makefield, which it caused devastating property damage and even more importantly the loss of 7 lives tragically. It becomes more important for all of us to be prepared, individuals, families, and, of course, our local towns as well. So with that, I'd like to introduce our guests. First, I'd like to introduce, as I said earlier, the director of PEMA here in Pennsylvania, Randy Padfield. Director Padfield, welcome.
Thank you, Senator, and thank you again for the opportunity to be able to participate with the town hall tonight.
Great. Thank you again for taking the time. I really appreciate it. And George Wilson, the Bucks County Director of Operations for Emergency Services. George, welcome.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate you having us participate this evening, and I look forward to this discussion.
Thank you. And I know that Commissioner Harvey will be joining us. I don't think he is on the line yet, but when he does, we will introduce him as well. So, Director Padfield, let me start with you. I think most of the folks listening tonight are familiar with FEMA. They know what happens on the national level, going back, of course, to Hurricane Katrina and some of the other major events that have occurred across the United States. But they may be a little bit less familiar with what FEMA does. And I'm wondering if you could just, at the beginning, give us a little bit of an overview of the distinction between the two.
Sure. Thank you for that question, Senator. So, you know, the Pennsylvania Emergency Management Agency has a number of different functions within the state, and we're really the state emergency management agency that works with the counties, and then the counties work with the municipal emergency management coordinators. So there are a number of core functions to our agency, and I usually tell people that, you know, we're not an agency that sits around and waits for disasters to occur. There are a number of things that we do on a regular basis. We're involved in preparedness activities, so we really want to make sure that the public is prepared. Obviously, as you indicated, September is National Preparedness Month, so we work that actually every month of the year to be able to get information and messaging out to individuals on different types of disasters, things they should consider, such as insuring themselves if they have the ability against the hazards that are in their area, but also, you know, how to kind of navigate the preparedness environment and things that they can do to prepare themselves, their families, and others around them, because as you indicated, the types of disasters we're seeing, especially, climate related. The other thing that we do is our agency is, involved in mitigation activities. So for every disaster that we have declared on the federal level, we actually receive money back for mitigation activities. And this equates to millions of dollars. And this is really money that is used for projects in local municipalities to be able to buy back properties that may be in the special flood hazard zone or elevate those properties, and a number of other types of things that we can do to be able to buy down the risk of future disasters and the impact to citizens. So there's a lot of great work that occurs in that space to be able to mitigate the effects of future disasters. And we have a real dedicated staff that looks at those projects and works with the counties and the municipalities to be able to carry out those projects. We also have a number of other, have facets of the agency as well. We're involved, obviously, in technological hazards. We have a number of power plants across the state that are nuclear power plants. We're also involved, from a hazardous materials perspective, we actually certify all the hazardous materials teams in the states, and then the counties, usually if they're a county-based team or they may be a regional-based team that respond to hazardous materials incidents. And we're also responsible for the 911 system in the Commonwealth as well and work with the counties to be able to make sure that we have good standards in place, that they have up-to-date equipment, and we do that based on a surcharge that is put on people's phones to be able to collect that money and be able to essentially distribute it out to the county, because we know that 911 is a foundational aspect of public safety delivery across the Commonwealth. And we've done some great work in that space as well. So we're really, a very broad organization. And then, obviously the response side is what we're known for when disasters do occur. But there are a lot of other things, like I said, that we do before a disaster ever occurs to either really reduce the risk to the individuals and populations, make sure they're prepared, and obviously, in times of disaster emergency, to be able to respond effectively with our partners at the county level and also the municipal level.
That's great. Thank you for that. I think that overview is very helpful. And it's a good segue to our next guest, who is on the line with us now, the chairman of the Bucks County Board of Commissioners, Bob Harvey. Commissioner Harvey, welcome.
Thank you, Senator. Appreciate the opportunity to be on, and appreciate you and your staff setting all this up. I think it's certainly important, again, as you just heard, September being prepared this month and coming on the heels of the flooding tragedy we had this past July, which we believe, in terms of loss of life, may have been the worst natural disaster in Bucks County history. I don't want to take too much of the thunder from George Wilson, from our emergency management agency, who will be speaking, but just by overview, the county's role in preparedness is really to work with all 54 municipalities, in terms of their fire companies, their police departments, their rescue squads, emergency services, to make sure there's coordination and making sure that we have plans in place and communication is clear. Each of the 54 municipalities in Bucks County has their own emergency management coordinator. Might be the fire marshal, might be their public safety director, could be their township borough manager. Really is no right or wrong way to organize it. But they all work with our emergency management team. So when there is some kind of an emergency, that emergency management coordinator, if they feel the emergency goes beyond what their municipality's capabilities are to deal with it, they will reach out to the county. The county will then muster the resources from all over the county. In some cases, as was the situation with the flooding in July, even in getting resources from counties, or in that case, actually, I think we got resources from New Jersey as well. So the people we have at our emergency management agency are skilled professionals, long histories in covering all the different first responder categories. They have deep relationships throughout this county from north to south, and they know the capabilities of all the different units that respond to emergencies. And so we're, you know, obviously always at the ready. In addition, we have another sort of national preparedness. Our health department is always part of that as well, you know, for any kind of, you know, medical emergencies that might happen on a large scale, as, you know, you saw with the pandemic a few years ago. So the county does have certainly a role to play working with local municipalities and then also coordinating with the state, because if the situation exceeds what the county's capabilities are, that's when we can reach out to the state and FEMA and ask for help from them, and in some cases with FEMA, if the disaster really goes to another level. So I'm, again, pleasure to be here, interested to see what kind of questions we get, and I will turn it back to you, Senator.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Harvey. And with that, I will remind all the listeners on the line that if you want to be connected this evening to ask a question of either me or our other panelists, all you need to do is press *3 on your phone. Once again, *3. So, so far we don't have any questions on the line, but again, press *3 and you will be connected directly to us this evening. So thank you for that, Director Padfield and Commissioner Harvey. Before we get to any questions we might have from callers, let me ask a couple if I may. You talked earlier about you know, preparing for these storms and events. And I'd like to focus on that first. And if I could, from both the state and the county perspective, and let's talk first about families, and then we'll talk a little bit more about what the communities at large can do. But what are some of the things, and I'll start with you, Director Padfield, you could tell us that our families should be thinking about, you know, when it comes to planning and being ready for the possibility of one of these extreme weather events?
Thank you for that question, Senator. And, you know, I think there are a number of things that they can do. Number one is we want them to be well-informed so they understand what is occurring, especially when it comes to severe weather events. And there are a number of ways to be able to do that. I think the one thing that we're seeing, and as you indicated and Commissioner Harvey indicated, is that, you know, the incident that occurred in Bucks, by the time sometimes people get warnings through applications that they have or the ways that we have to be able to sign up for those warnings, sometimes what we're seeing is these weather systems evolve so rapidly and the conditions change so rapidly that by the time the alert goes out, there's a very short period of a window that they can react to that alert. And what we really want to push is people to be weather aware for these events. So understand when the conditions are ripe, understand and, you know, and take a look at a daily weather forecast, take a look at the high impact times, and be able to set yourself up for success. So in many of these situations with severe weather, we know it is going to occur. We know the conditions are there for it to occur. We know that there are areas that are highlighted with that potentially can be impacted. But just like the Bucks County flooding that occurred, we knew that was a wide area that was potentially targeted. We just don't know where exactly it's going to set up. And when it sets up rather rapidly. So I think the first thing is, you know, making sure people are weather aware, make sure they sign up for the warnings. You know, there's a lot of good information from a preparedness perspective at ready.pa.gov. That's the website that you know, many of the state agencies put information on, but predominantly we provide information. And there are a lot of different things on there that people can take a look at, from checklists for what you need to have in a preparedness kit to how to sign up for alerts. There is Alert PA, which is provided by a vendor called Code Red. You can go in and sign up for a number of alerts, not just weather alerts, and then you can put different addresses in there as well. so that if there is a severe thunderstorm warning or a tornado warning and, you know, it is, you know, near your house or your place of residence or your place of work, that you would get an alert on that. And you can sign up and customize those alerts. But there are also a number of other applications out there that provide location-based services as well. So you can download those applications. They can provide you that information when you're out in your mobile, in your vehicle, so it's not tied to a specific address. And then the other thing, you know, is really making sure that people, you know, have some sort of eye towards preparedness and develop, you know, really an emergency kit if they have the ability to be able to do that at home. There may be one that, you know, you want to have in your vehicle or at work as well, and make sure that you have the appropriate supplies in those kits. So they're really the things that, we take a look at. We really want the public to be prepared, but, you know, more than anything, we want to be them to be aware of their surroundings, especially with these severe weather events and how rapidly they can change, and be well-informed to be able to make the best decision they can to be able to evacuate, move to higher ground, or do the things they need to do to be able to make sure they're safe and their families are safe.
Thank you for that. And this is a good time for me to remind all of our listeners, if you want to be connected live tonight to pose a question, all you need to do is press *3 on your phone. Once again, *3. And with that, we have Colleen from Newtown. Colleen, you are live on the line. Go ahead.
Yes, hello, Senator. Thank you for taking my call. I live about 2 blocks from Tyler State Park. And in light of the awful fires that happened in Lahaina, Hawaii recently, I just wondered if there was any emergency plan in place or an evacuation plan in the event that there was a major fire in Tyler State Park. Thank you.
Okay. Sure thing, Colleen. It's a great question, and obviously it pertains not only to Tyler State, but the other state and county parks that we have here in Bucks County, and the many wooded areas that we have throughout the county as well, because obviously, particularly in central and upper Bucks, we have much more rural areas where that's the case. So great and timely question. Let me start with Director Padfield and then turn it over to Commissioner Harvey or Director Wilson. Director Padfield?
Thank you, Senator. And Colleen, thank you for that question. It's a very timely question. You know, there are a number of tools that we have available to us to be able to alert the public for evacuations. Regarding specific evacuation routes and those types of things, sometimes we develop those, you know, at the time of the incident, because there are a number of traffic impediments that may be out there. There may be detours in place. There may be other things that are in place from a construction perspective, or there may be accidents. So we can relay that information relatively quickly, and we would work with our county partners on that. We also have the ability here at the Commonwealth Response Coordination Center to be able to have PennDOT, what's called Area Command. So PennDOT actually, Area Command is plugged into all of the regional traffic management centers across the state, and we're able to see real-time what those traffic conditions are, so we're able to actually make real-time decisions on what the best evacuation routes are, but we'd also work with our county partners on that. And we have the ability, as well as the county, to be able to issue wireless emergency alerts, but also to activate the emergency alerting system and to be able to provide specific messaging to the individuals that may be impacted. And then we also, you know, take a look at incidents that occur across the nation, such as what you indicated in Maui, to take a look at that to say, you know, what works, what doesn't work, you know, and learn from those situations to be able to constantly kind of refine what we do when it comes to evacuation and alerting. And with that, Senator, I'll turn it back over to you.
Great. Thank you, Director Padfield. And I will ask, and again, first remind everyone, *3 on your phone, and you will be connected directly this evening to ask a question of one of our panelists. But let me ask Commissioner Harvey and or Director Wilson first, from a county perspective, if they could share what their thoughts are on this subject of being able to evacuate a region if there is something like a widespread fire.
Yeah, thanks. It is a good question. Away to some of the things, not just obviously in Hawaii, but we saw fires in, you know, eastern Canada that I think may still be going that affected our air quality here. You know, that was something I hadn't seen in my entire time living in Bucks County. I've been here my whole life. I'm going to turn it over to our director of operations, George Wilson. He's going to be much more well-versed on those kinds of situations than I can.
Thank you, Commissioner. The Bucks County Emergency Management Agency, what we typically do, a lot like Director Padfield said, is we're kind of going to do that in real time. We're going to look at traffic cams. We're going to look at detours and set up those evacuation routes, you know, based off of several different things, whether what the weather is doing. And then we're going to engage our local police departments to set traffic control points. So that some of that stuff will be in real time. We also, as Director Padfield alluded to, we have the ability to send wireless alerting to folks in the area if their cell phone happens to be in that geographical area that we choose, and they would get that emergency warning, giving them some specific directions, specific actions to take to avoid that. And then we would continue to monitor the situation, and then we would also coordinate resources if we had to bring in wildland firefighting or other resources from elsewhere in the state or outside of the state to assist us.
Great. Thank you very much for that. Again, I want to remind everyone on the line tonight, press *3 on your phone, *3 on your phone, and you can be directed, you can be connected directly to our call tonight and ask a question live. And with that, we have Lynn from Levittown. You are live on the line, Lynn. Go ahead and ask your question, please.
Oh, thanks for taking my call, Benlin. But my question is about preparing for train disasters of derailment or fires. Are local fire companies prepared for that?
That's a great question, Lynn, and I can tell you as someone who lives not a mile away from the CSX line that goes through my town, Lower Makefield, it's always been a concern of mine going back to when I was a township supervisor. The frustration has always been that it's regulated largely on the federal level, which became clear once again with the horrible accident in East Palestine, Ohio. But let me turn first to Commissioner Harvey and Director Wilson about the local response and how that would be undertaken were there some kind of a disaster on our rail lines in Bucks County.
Yeah, thank you. It is a great question. I grew up just really about 100 yards away from train tracks when I was growing up in Bristol Borough, and those were the train tracks that carried tanker cars and box cars, and it was certainly something we were aware of. And as a supervisor in Falls Township, we have, you know, the Northeast Extension runs through our area as well as the CSX. So I can tell you in short that yes, the fire companies, in this county do have training. I'll leave it up to Director Wilson if he wants to add any kind of specifics in terms of what the training is and then how we as a county can coordinate responses. So,
Director Wilson, would you like to go ahead?
So Bucks County, again, all our fire departments in Bucks County are trained in firefighting and hazardous materials response to an operations level. The county as a whole, we pre-plan our railroads to assist the local municipalities to know where the access is to all those railways, how we can get resources there. As Director Padfield said earlier in the call, we are one of the fortunate counties that have our own hazardous materials response team. So that's a volunteer team that comes out of Ivyland. And what they do is they provide initial response and some mitigation efforts to a response such as like East Palestine or a train derailment. One of the other things that we do, we have the ability to set messaging, again, with Ready Bucks to be able to give the citizens some specific actions to take, whether it be a shelter in place or whether we're going to evacuate, why the teams are working to mitigate that response. If it should be a larger event, obviously we will start to call on our neighboring counties that have additional hazard materials response teams, as well as the state for additional resources.
That's great. Thank you very much for that. And once again, please press *3 on your phone, *3 on your phone to be connected directly to us this evening to ask a question of one of our panelists. I'm going to go live on the line now to Ellen from Bristol. Ellen, you're live. Please go ahead and ask your question. Ellen, are you there?
Hi, yes.
Go ahead.
I was asking about the flooding from the Delaware River, how high that ever came up. I was always wondering about that. Like, should we be concerned ever?
Right. Well, it's a great question, Ellen, and the short answer is yes, we should be concerned. I think probably the 1955 flood in Bucks County along the Delaware is still the record holder for the highest watermark in terms of the flooding. But we've had some pretty significant ones, obviously, just in the last two decades. In fact, in the first decade of the century, in three back-to-back years, 2004, 2005, and 2006, you may recall we had some pretty devastating flooding along the Delaware that really caused some major damage in a number of towns up and down the river. But we've had a number of events since then. And in Bristol, of course, and elsewhere, up and down the Delaware, obviously depending upon where you are in the river, it can be a little different. The Delaware is tide flowed up until about Trenton, and after that it's not, and so and it's a bit wider, of course, as you go further south. But the way the river behaves in mass storm events and flooding can vary a bit based on where you are and whether it's tide flowed. So let me, what I'd like to do, Ellen, if I can, is take that question and ask our panelists tonight if they can tell us a little bit about what the response is that can be provided when there is a flooding event. And as has happened in places in Bucks County in the past where people, get trapped and need to be rescued. And perhaps Director Wilson might be able to tell us a little bit about that from the local standpoint.
Yes, thank you, Senator. As far as flooding goes, especially for the Delaware River, it's important, as Dr. Papio said, is to be weather aware. Some of the ways that we can do that is to be able to go online, and you'll be able to see the predictions for the Delaware River and the levels it's going to reach. At the Emergency Management Agency, we often are checking the flood gauges up and down the Delaware River and in the Chamonix Creek alike to check to see if the predictions are going to rise or if we have to send out messaging to people to kind of warn them of when the river is going to rise or the creek is going to rise, to what level and what impacts they may see. Along the Delaware River, from a response standpoint, several of our local fire companies are equipped with marine units, boats. They have some high water vehicles that are able to get the neighborhoods to remove people who need to be evacuated should it be a flash flooding situation or the river should come up abruptly, which typically does not happen. We usually have a little bit of time when the river rises. Flash flooding seems to be the one that is not as predictable how high it's going to get and what neighborhoods it's going to impact.
Right, and that, of course, was the tragedy and the challenge in Washington Crossing back in during the July flash flood. Director Patfield, anything you want to add from a state perspective? I mean, I know Pennsylvania is a state that has many, many miles of rivers, perhaps more than most other states. And so this is generally an issue that's a challenge to us statewide.
Thank you, Senator. And yes, it is. And just to add a few things in to kind of give it a little bit more context. From a flash flooding perspective, we know that the Northeast United States, we have 5 decades worth of data that shows that we have an increasing frequency of significant precipitation events like we saw in Bucks County, like we saw in Berks County most recently, and actually over the last weekend in the northeast portion of the United, or of the state. So those events continue to increase. The data shows us that over the last 5 decades. The other thing that we track is we actually track reports of flooding of the National Weather Service offices. And what we've seen is that about 90% of the reports of flooding that are occurring within the last number of years are being reported outside of what's considered a special flood hazard zone or what is considered essentially, you know, the area around rivers for riverine flooding and those types of things. So we know that 90% of those reports are now occurring in areas that aren't maybe associated with rivers or creeks or streams or things like that. And that is the nature of the flash flooding, as you know, Director Wilson was talking about. In that situation, it's very hard to predict. Riverine flooding, you know, we take a look at, and I know Harrisburg, I've done a lot of work with Harrisburg. The U.S. Geologic Survey has done a lot of work along the main stem of a lot of the rivers to do flood inundation mapping, to be able to take a look at when the river comes up to this level at this river gauge, these are the areas that are going to be impacted. These are the streets that are going to be impacted. You know, it's not 100% all the time, but it really gives you a good idea of what the impact is going to be if we see a significant river rise. And as, you know, we talked about being weather aware, understanding where to get that information, understanding how high the river is going to come and the areas are going to be impacted. And specifically, if you're looking to evacuate, the roadways that are going to be impacted as well. And then make an informed decision on whether it's a good idea to be able to move out of some of those low-lying areas or those areas that are potentially going to be flooded. But I know, you know, it's a dynamic situation. And working with Harrisburg over the years, the other thing to take into consideration is there's what we would consider a dry flood and a wet flood. A wet flood is, you know, a situation where you're actually getting the precipitation as well and the river is coming up at the same time. And when you have that, you have the potential for flash flooding, which really creates more impediments from a travel perspective in low-lying areas that may cut off streets and those types of things. Or it may be what's considered a dry flood where the precipitation is north of where you're at, but you're going to see the river rise associated with that. And that may be in a number of days depending on, you know, the basin that the precipitation is deposited into. So we look at all of those parameters from our perspective. I know the counties look at those parameters as well. And we try to make the best educated decision on areas that we need to evacuate, messaging that we need to push out, and be very proactive about that a number of days out. So we're always monitoring those types of situations and making sure that we're communicating with the public so they can be prepared and they can anticipate some of the impacts.
Great. Thank you for that. This is a good time to remind everyone that if you are listening and would like to be connected live this evening to ask a question to one of our panelists, you can press star 3 on your phone. Again, star 3, and you'll be connected live. We're also accepting questions online, and I have a question from Linda online, and her question is actually very much related to what we were just discussing. And that is, in the event of a mass evacuation, are there facilities that would be available to evacuate to? Now, I know based on some of the flooding that we've had in the past, the American Red Cross often comes into the area and sets up evacuation centers and help centers for folks who have to leave their homes. So if I could ask, maybe I'll start with Commissioner Harvey and Director Wilson. What are some of the things that are available to residents if they have to evacuate and where they can go?
Sure, thank you. And I'll let Director Wilson get into some of the specifics. But one of the things emergency management does is we do prepare, you know, have contingency plans for if we need to evacuate people to a location, where can we take them? Obviously, it depends on what the situation might be. It depends on where the situation is, you know, if it's in the lower end, central part of the county, or upper end. I did also, I'm going to ask Director Wilson to go into some detail about some of the things we have in place already, but I also want him to go into a little bit of the specifics about Ready Bucks, which, as you may have heard that a couple times tonight. So for residents who are interested in signing on to Ready Bucks, that's a way for you to sign, to get those notifications that we've been talking about. So if you can get your name into that system, you'll make sure that you can get these kinds of alerts. So, Director Wilson?
Thank you, Commissioner. So as far as evacuation and evacuation points that are provided in the county does have some partnerships with, we do have a partnership with the American Red Cross, as well as all of our school districts. And the county has pre-designated evacuation points and shelters throughout the county that are typically in some of our school district buildings, such as high schools, because they have the ability to provide all the necessary amenities for citizens that may be evacuated or may be there for long term. Kind of not similar to the Upper Makefield incident, we were evacuating folks, and we evacuated those folks to Yardley Makefield Firehouse during that event because we couldn't get them back to their homes or it wasn't safe to go to their homes. So they were provided transport through partnership with one of our school districts to Yardley Makefield Fire Company, where the American Red Cross could provide some disaster assistance in kind of a short term, and then decide whether or not we had to open up a congregate shelter in one of the areas to provide a larger support for many more people that had to be evacuated. As far as Ready Bucks that Commissioner Harvey was talking about, Ready Bucks is the county's emergency alerting system. A lot like the Alert PA that the state provides, Ready Bucks will provide both non-emergency and emergency alerts that you can sign up for, whether it be for your residence, whether it be for your work, or maybe you have an elderly parent and you want to just put their location in to get any alerts that that things are happening in their area. And a couple of ways you can sign up for that is you can go to the buckscounty.gov website and go under emergency management and look for emergency notifications. By going through there, you can sign up. You have the ability to put your phone number in, your email address, and whether you want texts or calls. Also, another easy way to sign up is if you text Ready Bucks to 888-777, that's 888-777. You will get a reply text message back, and you can click on that link and begin your sign-up there as well. Many of the municipalities are starting to use that, not only to deliver emergency alerts, but also to deliver maybe some information such as snow emergencies in a municipality. If there is an event, they can use that to give people updates for certain events if they want them. So it provides several different means of delivering messages to the citizens of the county. So again, that's Ready Bucks at 888-777.
Great. Thank you very much for that. And again, I want to remind folks who are listening on the line tonight, all you have to do is press *3 on your phone, *3 on your phone, and you will be connected directly to us this evening, and you can ask a question live of one of our panelists. And we have Marv in Doylestown who has a question. Marv?
Yeah. Hi, Senator. Thank you. This is very informative. I've been listening to everything so far. My recommendation might be that could we reach out to the Bucks County Herald and see if a lot of this information could be published in a document that people can read and then enter into their phones, et cetera, et cetera. That would be very helpful for me. I'm just sort of an ancient old hard copy guy, you know what I mean? So thank you. Thank you for this great informative information. Thank you. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Marv. And Marv, by the way, I'm with you on the hard copy piece. I prefer it on paper a lot. I still like to read the newspaper in the morning, and I often prefer to see it on paper. So how about that? And I'll ask. Let me ask first Director Patfield. You know what are the ways that FEMA gets this information out? In addition to, you can talk about the online sources and the social media sources, but for folks who are more comfortable with something in the newspaper or in paper, what are some of the ways that FEMA does that?
That's a great question, Senator. So, you know, we look at a number of different ways to get the information out, and a lot of it occurs, with our county partners and sometimes municipal partners as well. So we have an external affairs group here that manages that and actually communication staff as well. But we have a number of, hard copy documents that we can bring out to, give you an example, National Night Out is a classic example where we can actually either provide it to the local municipalities or we can provide it to the counties and provide the information to be able to get out there. Right now we're in the middle of a campaign where we're helping older adults to be able to kind of develop checklists and, increase their preparedness and things like that and things to take into consideration. So we're working with the Department of Aging on that. We have requests a lot of times come in from the counties that they're hosting an event or they know of a municipality that's hosting an event to be able to go out and just maybe talk about preparedness, but also provide hard copies and leave behind materials to be able to, you know, that are actionable pieces or actionable items that they can take with them to be able to help develop or guide their emergency preparedness kit, or things that they can do at home to take into consideration to be able to make sure they're well prepared. So we try to avail ourselves of any opportunity to be able to get out and to be able to interact with people, because even like this evening, to be able to interact and be able to answer questions is invaluable when it comes to be able to increase people's awareness of some of the hazards that that they may face, but also some of the things that are very tangible that they can do to be able to increase their preparedness in response to those hazards.
Great. Thank you very much for that. And again, I want to remind folks, star three, and you will be connected live this evening to ask a question. And so if I may just briefly follow up on Marv's question at the local level, Commissioner Harvey, Director Wilson, what else does Bucks County do?
Well, certainly we do our best to try and keep the training for all our people up to date. We do have a police training center in the county. We have a fire training center as well. We offer classes to first responders to make sure they can keep their certifications up, and that those classes are taken not just by people here in Bucks and professionals here in Bucks, but we draw people from state police barracks. We draw people from all over Pennsylvania. In fact, I was at a training session just kind of sitting in, listening as we had people from New York and Connecticut coming down to our training facility. We kind of going back a few topics, one of the things that came up about railroads and concerns about railroad safety, we are working right now with the community college, where we do some training through them for first responders, and we are discussing the possibility, and it's just a possibility right now, of maybe doing a building a training site to train first responders on how to deal with railroad emergencies. We do have some areas of former freight line that aren't used as much anymore, where it's possible to build a spur that would allow actual railroad cars to be brought in and allow for sort of as realistic training as we can get to make sure people are comfortable with what they're doing. But I'll turn it over to Director Wilson to add anything else he thinks is important for the people to know.
Thank you, Commissioner.
If I may, Director Wilson, we have another caller on the line. Oh, we had a caller on the line? We don't have a caller on the line anymore. In that case, go ahead. Sure. Thank you.
Just to touch on some of the things that Commissioner Harvey was talking about at the Emergency Management Agency, some other things that we do to assist our local municipalities, we provide them with emergency management training. Usually typically on a quarterly basis, and sometimes more often, on different topics such as like preparedness, recovery, mitigation, and exercises and planning, and to provide them the tools with developing plans and exercises, tabletops, within their local municipality to prepare for any of the hazards that they may face. So they're a little bit better prepared at the local level. And then it also strengthens our relationship with the local municipality to assist with that coordination piece when that event does happen.
Great. Well, thank you very much for that, Director Wilson. I appreciate it. Again, *3 will connect you directly to our conversation this evening. Once more, *3 will connect you directly to the conversation. And we have about another 15 minutes left in this telephone town hall this evening, so there's still plenty of time to ask your question. We did have Glenn from Morrisville on, but unfortunately we lost the connection with Glenn, but we were able to get his question nonetheless, and so I'm going to ask it and then offer an answer myself, and then if others want to chime in, you're certainly welcome to. But Glenn's question was, what are we doing to protect power outages since Hurricane Sandy? And this is something that I am very well familiar with, Glenn, if you're still listening. because at the time of both Hurricanes Irene, which was in 2011, and then Hurricane Sandy, which was in late October of 2012, there were some serious problems in our area, particularly in the area of Newtown Yardley area that I represented at the time as a member of the State House, with power outages. In fact, those problems existed even absent severe weather events, but when it came to a storm like Sandy, you know, all bets were off, and many, many people throughout the area lost power, and our house, my wife and I and our kids were some of the folks that lost power too during that that storm. So there are a couple things to talk about in that. Number one, in really extreme events, a serious hurricane or a tornado, or, you know, there are some things that you just cannot prepare for in terms of the resiliency of the power grid. However, there are many other storms of a less severe nature, which the power grid should be able to get through without substantial failure. So one of the things that we did back at that time was work with PECO to start redoing the grid in many places, putting in what are essentially circuit breakers that help minimize the amount of an outage if a particular line goes down. And we also worked with them in being much more aggressive about their vegetation trimming, because one of the big problems we have for lines that are above ground in our area is that we have a lot of vegetation, and often if those trees are not being trimmed on a regular basis, and a storm comes along and a limb goes down, the line can be impacted. And as it happens, one of the things I learned during that process was that in here in Bucks County, partly because we are at the end of PECO's service area, since we go right up to a state border, we have many more long-distance high-voltage lines. And those lines tend to be much more susceptible to outages, even when minor tree limbs fall on them, which was one of the problems that we were having both before Hurricane Sandy and in a few years after that. I'm happy to say that it has gotten better. A lot of that work that PECO has done has made a big difference, and we have in subsequent years, after I took office as a state senator and my district started to include central and parts of Upper Bucks, we asked that PECO continue that work in those areas as well. And I think our reliability has improved, but once again, I want to underscore, in the case of a severe weather event, whether it's a hurricane or a tornado or, you know, a very severe flood, it becomes more challenging, and I think we have to be prepared in those situations for potential outages. The challenge then is to try to restore homeowners and businesses to have their electricity as quickly as possible to minimize the disruption. And again, we at the state level, but also our partners at the county and local level, work cooperatively with the energy provider to do that, and that's been an important part of what we've done in these situations in the past. Because we're getting a little late, I want to go to our next call. And we have Kara on the line from New Hope. Kara, go ahead.
Oh, hello. I was just wondering if they could give us guidance in a to-go bag for adults, children, and pets.
Great. That's a great point, Kara. Thank you very much. Let me ask Commissioner Harvey and Director Wilson if you want to answer that question.
I know we just had a presentation at one of our recent meetings through the health department about encouraging families to put, get bags together, getting ready for those things. In fact, I think it's actually up on our website. If not, check the Department of Health website about preparedness. And it did include things about pets, about making, the list of items to bring, list of items to pack for different kinds of events. And now I know they're having something later this month
about sort of like a preparedness bingo that they're encouraging people to do, just as a way to just start a family discussion, get everybody in the family involved and how to prepare for, you know, for something if you can't be in your house for, you know, maybe it's a day, maybe it's a week, maybe longer for whatever reason, and what would you need and where would you keep it and all those things. I don't know if Director Wilson can add anything, but certainly, you know, it's something we did just talk about at our recent meeting, got a presentation from our health department.
That's great. Thank you very much for that. And once again, *3 is the way to connect tonight to ask a question live of our panelists. We have still a few minutes left, and we have Brett on the line from Doylestown. So I'd like to turn it over to Brett. You can go ahead and ask your question.
Thank you, Senator, for answering my call. I actually have a two-part question now. One, with the Ready Bucks, will we be informed if there's a convicted escapee felon in our area, as Chester County had for the last 2 weeks? And the second part is, you talked about trees taking down electrical lines. I live on a road that has a lot of dead trees, not on my property, but who is liable to take them down, the homeowner or PICO? Thank you.
Sure. So let me turn it over first to Commissioner Harvey with respect to a response in a situation that has happened in Chester County, which thankfully ended earlier today.
Yeah, I mean, the Ready Box, as you heard, is really something that could be used for a variety of things, you know, emergencies such as that. Certainly, if you had to go on a lockdown, as you heard, you know, Longwood Gardens did a couple weeks ago right after the escape happened, because it was a sighting of that fugitive. And again, you know, excellent job by everybody involved in Chester County, you know, capturing him and bringing him, putting him someplace where he's not going to be able to do that again. Even, you know, townships and even the county can use it just to send out informational things about, you know, events happening in the community. So it really is, it's a great way to connect to people very rapidly through ReadyBucks. We encourage people also to follow us on social media just to make, because we put things out of all social media platforms. It's, you know, there are a variety of ways we use to try and get messages out quickly, but certainly that ReadyBucks can be used for that very easily.
That's great. Thank you for that. And with respect to the trees, Brett, what I would say is contact our office. We're happy to get on that situation right away in the event that there are dead trees that need to be taken down. You know, often what will happen is PICO or Verizon or one of the other providers will send a crew out to do that. The issue often is, well, whose property is it on, and is there, you know, an issue with contacting the property owner? But if we know about it, we can certainly get that to whichever provider is at issue and try to get those trees either trimmed or taken down. Our number here in Newtown is 215-497-9490. Again, 215-497-9490, and we're happy to do that and get on those issues right away, because it is important, particularly if you have a dead tree, much more susceptible to falling in the event of heavy winds. So thank you for that. We are just a few minutes away from 8 o'clock when we are going to wrap up. I don't believe we have any other callers on the line at the moment. But I do want to take this opportunity to thank our participants this evening who have offered, I think, some really valuable information for all of us living here in Bucks County. First, our Director of PEMA, Randy Padfield. Director Padfield, I really appreciate you taking the time tonight. I know you're a busy man, an entire Commonwealth to administer to, and I appreciate you being with us tonight.
Senator, thanks again for the opportunity. I think events like this are extremely helpful to be able to get the right information out to people to be able to answer their questions. We realize a lot of individuals. We're a large state, a lot of residents, but we want to make sure that we avail ourselves of this opportunity and obviously your leadership for spearheading this, especially during National Preparedness Month. I think the last thing I want to leave people with is, there's a whole system out there to be able to support them that starts at the municipal level, as the commissioner indicated, on up to the county level and on up to our level as well. Our goal is to make sure people are prepared and they have the right information available to be able to make good informed decisions, at their level, regarding the hazards that confront them. But thank you again for the opportunity.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And Commissioner Harvey, Director Wilson, I want to thank you both as well for taking the time tonight to let us know what Bucks County is doing to coordinate with the state and other authorities, both in terms of preparing for the inevitable emergency, but also then responding to them as well.
Now, thank you. I'll let Director Wilson go first. I'll follow him. Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you for having us. Let's kind of echo some of the statements made by Director Patfield, is making sure that the citizens know that there is a large line of support behind them to help them prepare for some of these incidents. It's especially important to get this information out to the citizens. And I just want to remind them, if you're looking for emergency preparedness guides or tips and tricks, the readypa.gov is an important resource. Also, the Bucks County Emergency Management Agency webpage, where you can sign up for those emergency alerts at Ready Bucks. And you can also find some citizens' guides to what to put in your go kit, what to put in your vehicle, and some important documents that you should also put with that stuff should you have to be evacuated during any of these emergencies. So thank you again, Senator.
Sure thing. Commissioner Harvey?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say a whole lot more than what Director Patfield and Director Wilson talked about. I will put in a plug. Obviously, it is interesting. We have all these people, and I guess because, the four people on the four panelists here, myself, the senator, and the two directors are, we have exposure to this, to what we do and have done for a long time. And it's easy for us to forget that, for the vast majority of residents in our county, and this is true, of course, probably across the country, unless you're directly connected to emergency services, having a friend or family or yourself involved, you don't necessarily appreciate how much work goes in, how trained and prepared everybody is, and the kinds of things that go into tabletop exercises, practices, and drills and things of that nature. But, we do want you to rest assured. Be rest assured that there is a very highly trained group of people in this county and our neighboring counties that can easily respond and have responded over the years to those kinds of events that we hope don't happen, but we know, of course, you have to be prepared for them. If you know anybody who's interested in being involved in emergency services or in whether it's police or rescue squads or firefighters, they're always looking for people, always looking for whether they're volunteering or looking at it as a career, please reach out to your local departments, reach out to your local rescue squads or fire companies and see if they're always looking for volunteers. So we'd love to have you and be part of that community. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Harvey. And again, I want to thank all three of our participants, our panelists, for being on tonight and taking the time to answer questions. I hope you found this an informative discussion this evening. One thing seems to be for certain, and that is we are going to have these kind of extreme events at more increasing frequency, as I think Director Patfield suggested earlier, looking backward over the last 5 years or so, that there has been this steep increase in these heavy rain events. And that, of course, suggests that that'll continue, and certainly what the science seems to indicate is with global climate change, we can expect that. So being prepared and knowing what to do in an emergency is an important part of that for residents, and certainly listening to what our Pima and the County Emergency Services Department and, of course, our first responders are saying in terms of what folks should be doing, whether that includes an evacuation or not, is also very important, because there's no point in putting yourself at risk. And sometimes, of course, when people do not listen and don't evacuate, they put others at risk too, namely the first responders who are there to try to save lives. So with that, I want to thank you for listening tonight. If you have any questions, you can always reach my office at 215-497-9490. You can also reach out at my and take a look at my website, SenatorSteveSantosiro.com, where you will be able to find email information and other updates on what's happening here in the 10th District in Bucks County. Once again, thank you for participating. Thank you for listening, and have a great evening. Take care.